connecting to other people as well as connecting to Jesus. And I'm excited about that. It's been an incredible weekend experience so far across all of our campuses. And I think that's going to continue with our last service of the day right now. And, you know, I love that idea of taking advantage of a moment. And I think that's especially true when it comes to the subject of love, right? There are different moments that we have to take advantage of when it comes to our relationships. I think about, for example, the first date that you have with somebody, right? You take advantage of that moment. You get dressed up. You buy them flowers. You say, baby, we ain't going to McDonald's. We going to the finest Applebee's this county has to offer, right? Like, we doing it up big, right? You know, or maybe it's that moment where you're having your first kiss and you can feel that tension there in a moment. And you're like, okay, is this the moment? Is this the moment? I remember for me, it was a school dance and I had Tim McGraw serenading me. And he was like, I was skydiving. I was Rocky Mountain climbing. I rode 2.7 seconds on a bull named Fu Manchu. And I... That's two straight services that I got to sing along with me. This is the worst karaoke of all time, right? Yeah, took advantage of that moment. Asking Katie to marry me, right? I remember the moment the movie came up, and I was like, this is the moment. And I got down on my knee, and I don't remember what I said, but I asked her to marry me. And then she didn't say anything back. So I had to ask her again, right? And she finally said yes. You know, your wedding night, that's a moment you have to take advantage of, right? The first time you hold your child, you take advantage of that moment. The first time you meet your daughter's boyfriend, you take advantage of that moment. You scare the mess out of that kid, right? These are moments that we have to take advantage of, and I believe that's something the case with love. You just have to recognize the moment and recognize the opportunity, and recognize what's in front of you. Say, I'm going to take advantage of this moment because this moment matters. And I believe in 2024, a time like any other year, this is the perfect time to do this. It is the perfect time to love people. And we've talked about several different types of love through this series. We've talked about storge love. And we've talked about eros love. And we've talked about romantic love. And we've talked about phileo love, which is this brotherly love. We've talked about agape love, which is this unconditional love. And these different types of love are massively important, but I really do believe this agape, unconditional love that is here today, that we are talking about in this moment, is one of those loves that sums up everything that we do. That is the massive thing for all of us. Because agape, this unconditional love, more than any other, I believe sums up the gospel. It sums up the good news of Jesus. That no matter what you've done, no matter who you are, no matter how far away you've ran from God, you can be saved. And you are loved by Him. And we see that throughout the whole New Testament, because out of all these words, these are all Greek words, in the New Testament, this is the word used for love the most out of all of them. The other ones are used, but this is the one that's used most, and I think there's the reason behind that is God trying to say, hey, you have to understand this unconditional love that I am offering you. And throughout this series, we've been using these words, but we've also been using the story of Esther to properly explain this and to properly show this. And I love the story of Esther because she had to show this agape, unconditional love. And what we learn from the story of Jesus and the story of Esther is agape love sacrifices so it can save. Agape love sacrifices so it can save. You know, I could read the entire chapter 4 of the book of Esther for you, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to summarize it here for just a moment. See what happens in Esther chapter 4, verses 1 through 17. Mordecai, who is Esther's cousin, who is also like a father figure to Esther, who is queen at the time, Mordecai finds out that Haman has this plan to kill all of the Jewish people, to eliminate them, to destroy them, to annihilate them, to wipe them off the face of the earth. And Mordecai, as a Jewish person, and Queen Esther, as a Jewish person, they would be included on this, and they would be killed. Of course, at this point, this leads to Mordecai having incredible grief, and he's going, man, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? Like, we can't let everybody die. So he calls his cousin, and him and his cousin are talking. And she hears about this. She's trying to figure out, what do I do in this situation? And Mordecai's pushing her and saying, hey, you need to do something for this. You are in the position of power. You are in the position of opportunity. You are in this moment where you can actually make a difference. But she's hesitant because she's worried on her own end. Because if she goes to the king unsummoned, she could be killed. And all of a sudden, she's wrestling back and forth whether she should go to the king and risk her own death, or go to the king and potentially save all the people. And after wrestling through that for this moment, what ends up occurring is that she makes the decision, she's got to go to the king. She's got to do something about this. And she sets up this plan for all the Jewish people to fast, and she was going to fast too, and eventually she's going to go to the king and talk to the king. And what she says is so powerful. She says, if I die, I die. She wanted to save her people, and if that meant sacrificing herself, then that was going to be worth it. Because agape love sacrifices so that it can save. When you love someone, there begins to be some sacrifices made. This might be some habits. This might be time. This might be friends. This might be money. Like, when you love someone, you will sacrifice those different things. And I talked to our student ministry about this a couple weeks ago, but there's some things that I would go, man, I'm going to have to sacrifice a lot to go do those things because those things don't appeal to me. Things like picnics, right? I think picnics stink, all right? You're outside. There's ants crawling everywhere. You got food in baskets. It's just a mess, right? Or things like apple picking in the fall. There's college football on, right? I don't want to go apple picking. Or brunch, right? Brunch, in theory, is great, but then your meal schedule is thrown off for the rest of the day. You're hungry for dinner at 4 o'clock, then you're going to Taco Bell at 9:30, right? Like, it's an endless cycle of your whole schedule is thrown off, right? But you go, man, I'm going to sacrifice so that we can do this together because this is something that you want to be done. Now, Katie did point out we have never gone to brunch, apple picking, or on a picnic together after this. So she said she's actually sacrificing for me. Shout out Katie, right? But speaking about that, like, a very real example of this is for Katie and I this past week. I've been fighting some sort of sickness over the past week, and it's just been kicking my butt. Like, I would wake up tired, and I'd get home from work about 7 o'clock, and I would just be like, Katie, I got to go to bed. I'm exhausted. Now, if you don't know about my family, we have 2 children under the age of 3, which means our house is a war zone at all times, right? And Katie is going like, hey, go do whatever you need to do. If you need to go sleep, go sleep. Like, if that's going to make you feel better, go ahead and do that. And I really appreciated her for that because she very easily could have looked at me and said, Clay, you have the sniffles. I carried these kids for 18 months. Get your butt in gear and help me out, right? But she sacrificed because she loves me and she cares about me and she was willing to do what's best for me. And that's what agape love does. It sacrifices so that the other person or other people can be in a better position. We see that in Esther where she says, if I die, I die. Like, I'm going to sacrifice myself. We see that in Jesus when he began to live sacrificially by coming from heaven to earth. She said, or he was coming down to be sacrificial for us, but then maybe even more specifically, he died sacrificially for us. Said, I'm going to help you. I'm going to save you. And I think that's something that we need to emulate. John 15, 12 through 13. We're going to throw it on the screen here in a second. And it says this. This is my command. Love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends. That is the love that we need to be following. And I'll be honest, that scripture has always kind of messed with me a little bit. To lay down his life for his friends. Guys, like, Jesus is talking about himself. Now he's going to sacrifice himself for all of us. And he's saying, hey, follow my example. And I'm like, man, that makes a lot of sense. But I'll be honest, in 2024 where I live, I don't feel like I'm in a lot of spots where I'm going to lay down my life for my friends. Like, I'm not really in that position where there's that danger, that persecution, or that position where they're really in need and I got to do something to save that, whether that's as a first responder or military. Like, I'm just not in that position. But then I started taking it and thinking about that scripture a little bit more. And what we could say is that lay down an aspect of my life for my friends. If I'm following the example of Esther, if I'm following the example of Jesus, then I am going to lay down parts of my life. I'm going to sacrifice parts of my life for my relationships to have better experiences. And I find myself, honestly, getting a little frustrated, a little bothered when sometimes I hear people talk about relationships today. Now, this could be on social media. This could be when I'm standing in line at the ball field. This could be what I have conversations with people. But there's a term that I keep hearing when it comes to relationship problems that people have, and it's the term my. My thoughts, my feelings, my desires, my wants, my frustrations, my time are what matter most. And when we view our relationships through that selfish nature and what we can get out of a relationship and not what we can give in a relationship, it's going to lead to some truly terrible decision-making. Because we're going to be all about what we can gain. But that's not really what agape love is all about. Agape love is saying, hey, unconditionally, what our relationship looks like, whatever I need to do, however I need to act, however I can help, I am going to do that. Because that's going to benefit you. That's going to benefit the relationship as a whole. What occurs is, if you aren't willing to sacrifice in your relationships, whether that is a dating relationship, a engagement, a marriage, a friendship, a coworker, a teammate, whatever kind of relationship it is, a kid, whatever, your relationships are going to be very shallow. Because that depth of trust, that depth of care, that depth of love is not really going to exist. Because you haven't shown the love that you need to properly show. And I'm calling myself out on this. If I'm not careful, I will have some very shallow relationships. But if I say, okay, I'm going to sacrifice, then something can really happen inside the nature of the relationship. So what do we need to sacrifice to show unconditional love? Well, I think one of the things that we need to sacrifice is our time. I don't know about you, but when I go to the grocery store, I have one goal. Get out as fast as possible, right? We're going in and out. Like, this is a mission. I have a plan. I got a list. Let's get out of there. What if the thing I need to do is sacrifice a little bit of time in the grocery store? And I meet somebody in line of the checkout line, and I talk to them. And what I want to do is, as soon as I check out, go, all right, see you later, and keep it moving. What if I need to stop and continue that conversation for 5 more minutes? And sure, my frozen pizza is going to get de-thawed, but that's okay. Food's processed anyways. It's be good. But to have that real, tangible conversation with somebody for 5 minutes, because that might be the only conversation they have like that in a while. Maybe something we need to sacrifice is our focus. We had a staff member talk about this a couple weeks ago in one of our meetings that she felt convicted about where they sat during their kids' basketball game. Because what they would do, like a lot of parents, is they would sit up at the top of the gym and watch from above and be really focused on their kid, really tight, really like worried and anxious and distressed about what's going on in the game. They just completely focus on their kid. If you have ever had a kid in athletics, you understand how that is, a sibling, whatever. You're just highly focused. But there was conviction there because they would look across the gym and where all the parents were, they would see the parents interacting over there, but they'd be on the other side of the gym and said, we need to sacrifice some of our focus because we have an opportunity to love those other parents. So they move their seat. I think another thing we have to sacrifice is sacrifice some comfort. When you start to do life with people, when you start to invest in people, when you start to really love someone, you're going to step into some really messy conversations. You're going to step into some uncomfortable moments. You're going to step into a life that maybe you weren't ready for. But you're doing that because you're saying, hey, I love you and I care about you. And while sacrificing is almost never comfortable, the end result is worth it. Because we do have an end result. We have an end goal, an end purpose for our sacrificial love, which is to save. Because agape love sacrifices so that it can save. Esther's a great example of this. Esther loved her people in a way that she was willing to step in and save them. Now, here's where I think we got to recognize. It probably would have been much easier for Esther to go to the king and say, yo, me and Mordecai, we're Jewish people. Can you, like, keep us out of this decree? Like, we're good. And he'd probably be like, yeah, oh, sure, fine. Like, we'll figure that out. But she went on behalf of all the people, of every person, and said, we need to save these people. And because she had the courage, because she had the love, because she had the willingness to sacrifice, the entire nation of Israel was saved. We also see this in Jesus. His sacrificial love and his display of his sacrifice through the cross was done so that he could save everyone. He was willing to sacrifice his life so that others could live. This scripture, 1 Peter chapter 2, 24 and 25, it says this: he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. I want you to recognize this about this scripture. When he did that, he was taking our sin, he was taking our punishment, he was taking our struggle and saying, hey, I've got you. Because he came from heaven to earth, lived a perfect life, then got up on a cross and took the punishment for our sins that we deserved, that we needed, because we separated ourselves from him because of the sins that we have committed. And we have all sinned. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. And that sin is us missing the mark and not doing what God wants us to do. It's something we've all done. And he said, I'm going to save you by getting up on this cross and taking your punishment so that, having died to sins, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds, we have been healed. His sacrifice saves us. For you were like sheep going astray, but you have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. You know, there's a lot of us that have experienced this where we feel like we are far from God. Where we feel like we are lost sheep, where we feel like there's nothing we can do to get to God, that we are broken, messed up people. But the good news of this scripture is that you matter to Jesus. And Jesus loves you unconditionally and died on the cross so that you could choose to follow him and you could be saved for all of eternity. Some of you in here, you're hearing that, but you're going, man, Clay, you don't know what I've done. You don't know the mistakes I've made. You don't know how people view me. You don't know how I view myself. There's no way Jesus could love me. But he does. John 3:16, one of the most famous verses of the Bible, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. That word love is agape. It's that unconditional love with no limits, saying, I love you. And when you experience that life, that love, it is absolutely life-changing. And I'm going to challenge those of us in here that have already experienced that love, that have understood that love, that have received that love. One thing that we can do that is a big problem is we can just sit on it and go, okay, I've received it. Awesome. Great. But if you know how truly life-changing that love is, it should be our responsibility. It should be our goal. It should be our mission to go and share that love with other people, because there are other people that need to know that they are unconditionally loved by Jesus. And when they give their life to him, he's going to start working things in their life. He's going to start changing things in life. And their life is going to get so much better on the other end of it. But they're going through life feeling lost, feeling alone, feeling like they're in the fire. And we got to change that. We've got to do things we wouldn't normally do. We got to say things we wouldn't normally say. We got to go places where we wouldn't normally go. Because there are people that are facing the fire right now that need to know who Jesus is. And because of that, agape love should smell like smoke. What does that mean? Jude 22 and 23, it's just a fantastic set of verses. It says, and you must show mercy to those whose faith is unwavering. Rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. Show mercy to still others, but do so with great caution, hating the sins that contaminate their lives. Jude here is preaching that we must have mercy, that we must have compassion, and that we must have love. And what we should do is we should love people in a way that saves them from the fire. And there are people in our lives, there are people that we are going to come across, there's people that we're going to have conversations with in the grocery line or at the ball field or another parent or whatever it may be, that those are going to be people that are doubting. And they might have questions, and they might not understand, and they might not believe necessarily the same thing that you believe. And the natural reaction for you to do is go, man, I can't talk to you. I don't know how to talk to you. There's no way I can answer all your questions. Stop worrying about that. Just show them that unconditional love and spend time with them. Engage with them. Have conversation with them over and over and over again. Keep showing up. And through that time, those doubts will be strengthened by the goodness of God and through great questions. And you might have some answers. And you might go to people for some questions that you might not know the answers to. But over time, you will begin to be able to show that mercy and show that love to those who doubt through your answers. But most importantly, you got to show it on the front end and say, hey, I'm just here for you. But then we got to show love and mercy and compassion to those who are doing wrong. First of all, none of us are above anybody else because we've all messed up, right? But we also know there's a better life to live. So what we got to do with the people that we know that are not living the way of Christ, we got to go, hey, let me step into life with you. Not accepting their sin, not approving of their sin, not participating in the sin, not running away from them because of their sin, but going, hey, I'm going to walk through life with you, and I'm going to show you what a life with Jesus really looks like. And through these conversations and through the lifestyle that you begin to show them, what you are going to be able to do is hopefully one day, by sacrificing your fears and worries and doubts, you're going to be able to go, I'm going to try to snatch you from the fire. I'm going to try to save you. But we can't do that from a distance. We've got to run into the smoke. We've got to run into the fire. And I believe, as a church, we should smell like smoke, where we are willing to go to where the lost are, where we're willing to go to where the abandoned are, we're willing to go to where the confused are and say, let me show you something better. Let me sacrifice all my time, energy, worries, because on the other side of it, you might be able to be saved. And that's what Esther had to do. That's the crazy thing about agape love.
Agape love is a leap of faith because you don't know what's going to be on the other side. Two of the big scriptures that, you know, like I said, we didn't necessarily read, but we talked through for Esther in this moment was, perhaps you were made queen for such a time as this. I love that idea. Perhaps. It wasn't a definite. It wasn't, hey, you were definitely made queen for such a time as this. Perhaps you were made queen for such a time as this. And then she says, if I die, I die. You don't know what the end result of your agape love is going to be, but if you know it has the opportunity to save someone from the pits of hell, I believe that that risk is absolutely worth it. And maybe your time is right now where you go, man, there are people that I know that are lost, that are in that fire, that are struggling, that are hurting. You know, man, I need to go save them. It was something Wells Crowther experienced. When Wells was a young boy, his dad looked at him and handed him this white handkerchief, and he put it in his front pocket and said, hey, this is for show. It's supposed to make you look better. And then he handed him this red bandana. He said, this is what you go to work with. And the red bandana became Wells' calling card for the rest of his life. When he was a young boy, he had this red bandana on him everywhere he went, whether it was to go to school or to ride his bike around the neighborhood or go to lacrosse practice. Wherever he went, he had his red bandana on. And he even took it to the fire station that he volunteered at as a 16-year-old. He took it with him everywhere. Everybody knew him by it. Eventually, Wells ended up getting a 4-year scholarship to play lacrosse at Boston College, where, of course, he took his red bandana and wore it underneath his helmet for every practice and every game. So he does this. He has this great college experience, and he graduates with a degree in finances and becomes an equities trader in the city. So now you have this 24-year-old Wells Crowther working in New York City, making a ton of money. Life is great. He is working in one of the giant buildings. Like, you would look at his life and say, man, this kid has everything. But he knew he was missing something. He knew that he was struggling. He knew that something was not right. So one day he calls his dad and said, man, I just want to quit everything. I just want to give up. I don't want to do it. I don't want to participate in what we're doing anymore. Like, this life is just not what I wanted it to be. I want to quit, and I want to come back home, and I want to do something that actually matters. And then his dad finished the conversation. His dad kind of hangs up, and he's like, man, that's just a young man who's just kind of struggling in the moment. We'll let him be. You know, things kind of smooth out for a little while, and his dad forgets about the conversation. And then September 11th happened. And Wells was working his normal job that day at the World Trade Center. And as he's there, one of the planes hit. All of a sudden, he's knocked to the ground. There's people all over the place. There's blood. There's chaos. There's death. There's destruction. It's the worst nightmare that anybody could have. And Wells pops up, and he tries to orientate himself around the situation. And he finally figures out where he's at. He figures out what he's doing. And what does he do? He pulls the red bandana out of his back pocket and ties it around his face and starts to go to work. He grabs a couple people around him, and they take off for the stairwell, and they go down the stairwell, and as they're making their way down the stairwell, they run into a group of firefighters that are trying to evacuate some people from the building, and he gets all his co-workers to the firefighters, and they're like, all right, let's go downstairs. Let's get you out of here. Let's get you out of here. And then Wells turns around and runs back up the stairs. He finds another group of people. Takes them to the stairwell. meets up with the firefighters again. And at this point, you're like, Wells, get out. You've done enough. You don't need to be the hero anymore. You've helped enough people. Just get on out. But he turns and runs back up the stairs. And he does this over and over and over again, saving a ton of lives. Witnesses that were saved talked about just seeing this young man with a red bandana running around the building, helping anybody that he could find. And eventually, the tower collapsed. And while Wells helped a lot of people get out of the tower alive and save their lives, he himself didn't make it out. Now think about that story. Now think about what we are called to do. Wells tied on his red bandana, ran into the fire, ran into the smoke, ran into the fear, ran into the chaos, and sacrificed himself so that others could be saved. I want us as a church to follow that example. For us to tie on our red bandanas, run into the fire, run into the smoke, run out smelling like smoke, saving people's lives day after day after day after day, because there are people that need to know that they matter to Jesus, that they matter to you. And that's going to take some unconditional love. That's going to take some agape love. And we're going to have to sacrifice some things on our end. It's going to take some time. It's going to take some focus. It's going to take some money. It's going to take away some of our comfort. But we're going to go, God, I don't care. Here's my life. I'm laying it all on the line, because if I do this, this helps people get to know who you are. And I've experienced that unconditional love, and I want other people to. So I'm going to smell like smoke every single day of my life so that people can know who you are. It's the greatest mission we could ever have. And we may not know the end result of our efforts. We may not know how it's going to go when we talk to that parent, or we talk to that coworker, we talk to that person in the grocery line, we talk to that waitress at the restaurant. We may not know how it's going to go. But we do know that agape love sacrifices so that it can save. And it's going to give us a better opportunity to save people with the good news of the gospel, to share with them the way of love. And today, maybe for the first time today, you're hearing that unconditional love, that agape love, that sacrificial love is available for you. And you had no idea that Jesus loved you like that. You had no idea that he would die on a cross for you. You had no idea that he would take that pain for you, but he did. And I want you to know you can experience that love. You can have the results of that love. You can be saved by just simply saying, Jesus, I'm choosing to follow you. You are my King. You are my Lord. Lord, I give my life to you. Maybe that's a moment you have there at your seat, or maybe you want to talk to one of us at the Connect Corner. We would love to talk to you at one of our Connect Corners. Others of you, you've been on the other side of that love. You've experienced that. But now it's time to smell like smoke. It's time to throw on that red bandana. It's time to go find some lost people and share the love of Jesus with them, because they need to hear it just like you needed to hear it. So why don't you do this with me? Why don't you go ahead and stand? And I'm going to pray here in just a moment. And as we pray here for just a moment, I'm going to encourage us to maybe think about the person that you need to love, that you need to sacrifice for, that you need to share the gospel with. And we need to follow the example of Jesus, of Esther, of wells. Say, I'm going to do whatever it takes to save some people. Jesus, I am thankful for you. I am grateful for you. Lord, you've shown us your unconditional agape love. Lord, I pray here in this moment that we recognize that, we engage with that, and Lord, once we do, we run into the fire, we sacrifice, we show that unconditional love so we can save. Lord, we love and we thank you.